Hey, there's a question we want to delve into today, and it's this. When do you think that Jesus is going to come again? Maybe the question should be first, do you think that he's going to come again? Mary has a friend who's an agnostic, and Rick, you said, you know what? Where is this like it's been 2,000 years, like, hello? When is Jesus going to come back if that's really going to happen? And there are some people that's, you know, they wonder. It's been a long time. And I can tell you there's a really solid answer to that. For one thing, in the Bible it says that 1,000 years are like a day. A day is like 1,000 years. So since Jesus made the promise that he was going to come back, it's been in God's time about 2 days, right? And he talks over and over again about the fact that he's going to come back. Let me just read you a couple of those. In Luke chapter 21, it says this. Jesus says, they will see the Son of Man. He's referring to himself. It's a title of a messianic figure from the prophet Daniel. And Jesus applies it to himself, says, they will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. At his trial, Jesus says it again. You will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. Hey, an experiment. I want to put something in your brain here. Today or tomorrow when you're out like at Edgewater Park or Metro Park, wherever, we live in such a great region of the country, and you see the clouds up in the sky, can you just imagine, just go, you know, Pastor Jonathan said that someday he read those words of Jesus, that Jesus says he's going to come in the clouds. And if you can just picture, what is it going to be like, you know, that we look up and we go, wow, it says in Revelation, every eye what? Will see him. Every eye will see him. And it's going to be like amazing. One of my favorite promises, in fact, I quoted it this week when I was standing next to the casket of a guy from Grace, and I just read those words from John 14 when Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You trust in God the Father, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will what? I'll come back. I'll come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. Jesus talks about this over and over again. In fact, the very last chapter of the Bible contains the final statement of one of Jesus' promises, and he says in Revelation 22:20, he says, yes, I am coming soon. So it's a major promise in God's word that one day, friends, listen to this, if you put your trust in Jesus, you and I are going to enjoy a place that there's no more death, like no one's ever going to die, no more mourning, no more tears, no more crying, no more pain, no more divorce, no more poison ivy. Praise God for that. No more strained relationships. The ice cream's going to have no more calories. You know, I'm very sure of that. It says that in Revelation 23. Friends, it's going to be amazing, stunningly beautiful, that we just have this eternal home to look forward to, that we go, wow. It's possible that it could happen anytime. Like it could happen. I really believe that Jesus could come again tonight. It could be tomorrow. Could it be another 500 years? I don't think that's likely, but yeah, I think it could be another 500 years. In fact, in the end, none of us really knows. And even Jesus said he didn't know. And listen to his words in Matthew 24. Jesus says, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. So not even Jesus knew, at least at that time. He says, only the Father knows. And so you might ask, well, is there any indication? Like, are we totally guessing? Did you know that Jesus himself gives us a hint? He tells us an activity that you and I can be a part of that is going to help usher in his second coming. He doesn't tell us the day or the month, but he does give us a clue. Matthew chapter 24. I'd love for you to turn there with me. Matthew 24, first book of the New Testament. If you miss notes on the way in, they were at the round tables every Sunday. They're there. But if you miss those, there's a lot of verses and statements to help you follow along. And you can just go to our website on your phone right now, gracecma.org, and you'll see the notes there, as well as you see there the app, the Grace app. And there's not only more resources for the message, but also a calendar of events, et cetera. I want to say greetings to all of our friends at Lorraine Correctional. Man, Mary was so glad to be with you this week. I look forward to joining you soon. And then just praying for you and for what God has in store for these days ahead. And then for friends who are engaging with us from around Ohio or the country or even other countries, blessings on you today. We send love from Cleveland. Matthew 24 is known as the Olivet Discourse because Jesus gave this teaching from the Mount of Olives, which is a beautiful place that overlooks the city of Jerusalem, a gleaming city. You could still go there today. So it's not sort of a surprise that they would say, hey, let's just sort of sit here and let's look at the city of Jerusalem. And while they're sitting there, the disciples ask a question. Jesus' followers ask a question. I think a lot of us would ask if he were to meet us in Global Grounds today. And I think we would ask this. It says this in Matthew 24, verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? It's the same questions we have, right? Like, what is this all going to happen? What are the signs? And in the next verse, in the following verses, Jesus begins to highlight some dashboard indicators that give you a clue as to when, like, his coming is approaching. So let's just look and see what he says. I've picked out eight. I'm going to read the first seven of them, and we'll go down to the number eight. But see if you can, which ones you can pick out. What needs to happen before Jesus comes again? Verse 4, Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains." In other words, starting it's like having contractions before the baby arrives. "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." Any of that sound familiar? There's at least eight dynamics that will come into play. Here's what Jesus says you can expect to happen. Number one, there's going to be false prophets and people who claim to be the Messiah. They're like, I'm here on a mission and I'm like the answer to the world's ills. You're going to see wars and threats of wars. Russia attacking Ukraine. India and Pakistan and Sudan and South Sudan. And we could just keep on going, right? I mean, there's in the persecution of Christians. Oh, I forgot one there. Increase in the number of natural disasters, wildfires, tsunamis, earthquakes, persecution of Christians. Did you know that just in one country where my brother and sister-in-law live in Burkina Faso, West Africa, might be a country you've never heard of. It's one of the hottest nations, temperature-wise, on the planet, that in the Alliance Church, our family of churches, just in the last 20 months, 11 Alliance pastors have been killed because of their faith. Left families behind. I think a total of like 40 children. Guys who are relatively young. Some have been my brother's students at the ministry training center. It's happening today around the world. Next one, number five, the renunciation of faith by many Christians. You've heard of people say, I'm deconstructing. It was predicted by Jesus. Internal division and discord among Christians. In other words, they're just fighting over stuff. You're like, immorality and insensitivity and immorality. And then number eight, one more we're going to get to in a moment. You might say, wow, we're experiencing a lot of those today. Like, could it happen soon? It could. It could. Honestly, we just don't know. What we do know is this. Listen, would you agree that we are closer to the second coming of Jesus than any era of Christians before us? Right? We're approaching that time. There are signs that are happening. We go, wow, I think it could be happening soon. And whatever happens, the Bible says, it's going to be like a thief in the night. People are going to go, why? I knew about that. I heard some messages on that. I watched a YouTube clip, but there he is. But there's one more indicator that Jesus highlights as a sign of his return, and this is where you and I come in, because the first seven signs are things that are done either to us or that happen in the world, like natural disasters or, you know, whatever, persecution. But there's one more that you and I actually get to participate in, we're invited to participate in, and it's in verse 14, and here's what Jesus says. It's not something that is done to us, it's something that we can, well, listen to this. Here's what Jesus says, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then what? The end will come. Friends, that's big, isn't it? That you and I are invited to participate in something that's happening today, that he says, when this happens, then the end will come. Let's just break that one verse down there a little bit, and then what we're going to do is say, okay, if this is what that verse means, how can you and I dial up our involvement in the greatest story that's being written in the world today? And that's what Jesus is doing, is through getting the good news out. Number one is our message. Our message is clear. It's the good news of Jesus. Jesus says, this gospel of the kingdom. In the New Testament, that word kingdom sort of summarizes all of the teaching of Jesus and how he entered a broken world to begin to restore it to what it was always meant to be back in the Garden of Eden. Remember the Garden of Eden? People rebel against God, and there's this infection of sin, and it messes up everything, like everything. Our bodies, sickness, relationships, I mean, all that is wrong with our world goes back to there. When Jesus comes into the world, his kingdom begins to break in, and he's like, there's a new day. And he gives his life. I mean, that's the gospel, literally good news, that he comes to say, death and sin and brokenness and strongholds of the enemy are not the end of the story. Remember when he was, when his birth was announced by the angels, and the angels they appear to the shepherds and they say, this is like good news of what? Great joy that will be for, that's right, some of the people. No, all of the people, you're right, all of the people, it's for everybody. And why is this such extraordinarily good news? Because by his death and resurrection, Jesus opens the door for every single one of us to experience what the Heavenly Father wants for us. When I put my trust in Jesus, when you take that step and say, Jesus, on my own, like, I'm lost. I might not like that description, but that's what the Bible says about me. I'm spiritually lost, I'm spiritually dead, but when you put your trust in Jesus, you experience complete forgiveness. I had a guy who told me this morning, he goes, I'm really new to this like thing of faith. He goes, I've committed almost every sin you can think of. And I go, do you know you're forgiven? And he goes, yes. He goes, I don't always feel forgiven, but I know I'm forgiven. Friends, we can experience forgiveness. We might not always feel forgiven. We can say, but the truth is, God takes my sin and removes it as far as the east is from the west. Psalm 103. I'm adopted into God's family. God becomes my father. His spirit comes to live in my life. He begins to break the strongholds of the enemy. I have purpose in my life today. I'm not just waking up and saying, well, you know what? You go to your job, you do this, you sort of. No, you can be on mission with Jesus in the world today, and then you know that whenever your time is up here, you have a home waiting for you in heaven. This is going to be amazing. We have the good news of the kingdom, and it's intended as great news for all people, and that's what Jesus says next, the target audience. First is the message, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached where? In the whole world as a testimony to people in all what? All nations. So if the message is the good news of the kingdom, the gospel, our audience is the whole world, all nations. Now this would have come as a surprise to Jesus' first followers, because you know what? They thought he was coming to sort of rescue Jerusalem, to deliver them from Roman oppression. It's It's a truncated gospel. Some people think today, like, we just got to get our country back, you know? Like, if we just, God wants us to take back, you know, the, I won't keep on going on that one. All I'll say is that gospel's too small. He has so much more he wants to do than just, like, you know, having the right people in political office and all the rest. And I'm not saying you don't make a difference as salt and light in your country, but friends, what God is doing in the world today, he didn't just come to deliver Israel from Roman oppression or deliver the, you know, he came in order to turn the world upside down in a good way. That's the heart of the gospel. And so Jesus is like, no, it's too small. If you think I'm just going to rescue this nation, like I'm here, this is for everybody. And he said it over and over again. Some people say that if you count up the times that Jesus delivered what we might call the Great Commission, it was maybe six times. I've listed them in your notes. Let me just point out one of those, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus, just before he ascends to heaven, so he dies, 3 days later he comes back to life, and he appears to people for 40 days, gives proof that he had risen from death, and then he ascends to heaven. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit comes, Acts chapter 2. Right before he ascends to heaven, after that 40 days following his resurrection, Jesus makes a statement in Acts chapter 1. He says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It's and. It's Jerusalem. It starts here. It's local. It's regionally and Judea and Samaria, and it's global, and he says, to the ends of the earth. If you've been around Grace, maybe you've seen some people wearing t-shirts, maybe you have one yourself, that it says here, there, and everywhere, right? That's it's not like, well, you can either reach out here or there. We don't have an or mission. We have an and mission. It's here and there and everywhere, because that's the heart of Jesus. Can I just tell you, I am so glad for how that's happening here in the Grace family. So many of you reaching out in your workplaces, maybe at school, making an impact and inviting someone to Alpha or to a Bible study. Or I was at Starbucks the other day, and I walk in, and this guy, hey, Pastor Jonathan, they got their Bibles right open right when you're walking up to the counter. And I just thought, they're in their 20s. And I said, guys, way to go. Cheering you on, you know, they're just people reaching out and making an impact. And because of that, I think we announced baptisms for the first time today. Even before today, we had 50 people sign up to get baptized on June 8th, 2 weeks from now. If you haven't taken that step, yeah, that's great news. And you see Pastor Kareem there baptizing. If that's you, that happens right over here. If you're newer to Grace, it happens at each one of our campuses. And guys of Lorraine, in fact, you might be having baptisms today. If you already had those, congratulations. I love being there for those days. And if not today, the last week of June, you can sign up for that. Yeah, so cheer those guys on. We are so proud of you guys. Way to go. You guys too are doing Alpha. You're inviting people to come to Word Up Wednesday or whatever other, you know, to say, hey, we're going to make a difference in the cell block, and we're going to, you know, we go to Chow. Way to go. Shining for Jesus in our Jerusalem, right? And then taking it to the region and saying, like, as a church, we can make an impact to help strengthen other churches. In fact, we're going to probably be announcing in the coming months, maybe launching another campus, but saying, God, there are people who matter to you. And then globally as well. In fact, we're part of a family of churches, about 2,000 Alliance churches in the U.S., about 22,000 more around the world. And I want to show you just a clip that will show you places that we can go through our prayers and our giving and people we're sending that we may never get to visit on our own. But this just gives you a window in 90 seconds about what we get to be a part of this all the world kind of mission. Here it is.
There's nothing in this world that we can take with us when we go to heaven, but we could take people with us.
For over 125 years, the Alliance has sent people to the least reached areas.
because He is the only hope for lost people. He is the only hope for this dark world.
There's opportunities today in places that we didn't have opportunity to send workers before.
To take all of Jesus into all the world.
Yes, we can use media, electronics, all kinds of other ways to connect.
But if we don't have meaningful presence, it's hard for them to come to really understand the gospel.
How can they hear unless someone is sent? How can they go unless we send them?
Sending forth laborers means that we have to, as the church, raise the funds to be able to support them.
To partner in the sending.
To give so that they may go and take the gospel message.
And I think that's the heart of missions.
We need the people that are willing to play the role as the senders as well.
There are workers prepared and ready.
People are ready to go.
And they're waiting for the support to go.
But we can't do it without you.
God has blessed us in what we're able to receive so that we can give it to others. We have an amazing opportunity and an incredible privilege to be a part of this Great Commission Day offering.
I encourage you to give to this year's Great Commission Day offering because you believe that the work is worth it.
We are on mission together. It's not just one person.
I love that we get to do this together, that we're a family of churches that get to bear the good news and to go to the least reached places so they can also have gospel access.
We get to do this together as a family, but also it's a lot of fun.
People need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ.
I remember a time I was talking with somebody and they heard the good news of Jesus for the first time, and with tears in their eyes, they said, "Why have people waited so long to tell me this?"
Give generously so we can send our missionaries to do the work that God has called them to do.
Give sacrificially. Give because you know that the work is worth it.
This is our time.
I love the fact that we get to be part of what God is doing around the world. Those words from the one person sort of haunt me. Why have people waited so long, what, to tell me this? Why have they waited so long? Like, how long ago did Jesus come? 2,000 years ago. And why am I hearing about this for the first time? Friends, here's the promise that Jesus gives. He says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then here's the promise. And then what? The end will come. He's going to come back. The biggest thing remaining before Jesus returns, I believe, is that there are more people who need to hear. In fact, the Apostle Peter, in his conversations with Jesus, I think he was probably repeating what Jesus told him when Peter says, the Lord is patiently waiting to return because he doesn't want anyone to perish. 2 Peter chapter 3. And there's the problem. Today, there are over 8 billion people who live on planet Earth. Of that 8 billion people, there's about a quarter of them, over 2 billion people, who do not know how to have a relationship with Jesus or have never heard the name of Jesus. And that's why it's like an injustice, why we as a church say, we're going to give attention to this. This is what matters. This is what Jesus wants us to do. He told us, he said, I want you to take the good news to everybody. So let's talk about how you and I can be part of this story that's unfolding, because it really is the most important thing happening in the world today is this. We're good news people getting out the good news to wherever he wants to take us. So on page 2 of your notes, you'll see how it says 7 ways to get involved in global outreach. What's your next step in joining Jesus on his mission? And as we're going through these, I'm just praying that the Lord will just go like, that's one right there you can dial up a little bit more. You could take a new step there. Let's take a look. First of all, it starts with living your faith. Before we can share the faith, we have to live the faith, right? Titus chapter 2 says this, that you and I can make the teaching about Jesus attractive by the way we work and we live. When you go to your workplace this week, or you're out in the community or to school, you're wrapping up your final days, you can live in such a way, sort of like Z. Remember Z's story? He goes, I had a friend, Sydney. And Sydney had this joy and this deep joy and this peace. And he said, it just made me want to have what she had. I wonder, does my life create that kind of interest in other people? Does your life do that? The very first way to do it, you don't have to be a pastor or a missionary or whatever, is just live a life where Jesus just sort of overflows and the Spirit of God is just drawing people and they go, whatever you have is what I want. I watch you go through a crisis or, you know, whatever challenge, and you just have a faith that makes me want to know more. Start by living the good news. Secondly, talk to Jesus. That's really what it means to pray. If we believe that there's a spiritual battle taking place, this is one of our best investments. I'm moved by the words of Sidlo Baxter when he writes, "People may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, but they are helpless against our prayers." I wonder if you have anybody in your life like I do, some people that I really love a lot who, frankly, I don't know what else to do except for pray because they're not where I would like them to be with Jesus. But here's what I know. I pray with confidence that God the Father loves those individuals. He knows their names. He cares. He sees every detail of their lives, and he loves them even more than I do. And so pray, talk to Jesus. Mary and I have said to each other, and I don't always get this right, but Lord, help me to turn every anxious thought about people I care about into a prayer to you, just to say, Lord, I just offer this person up to you. Can I just tell you something? The Father in heaven never gets annoyed by you. The enemy will tell you he does, like, oh, come on, God has bigger fish to fry than that in the world today. Like, he doesn't really want to, that's a lie from the enemy. He wants you to come to him with every single thing in your life. Psalm 37 says in the New Living Translation that the Father delights in the details of our lives. He loves to give, pray. I had a friend who recently showed me his prayer wall in the corner of his office. And this is not it, but this is something like it. But I wonder what you might do to say, Lord, I want to just remember. I want to put something together that helps me to pray for people. What might that look like for you? Number three, stay informed. You can find out on the internet and everything what's happening politically and how the tariffs are going to affect your 401k, et cetera. But what about lives being changed by Jesus? Did you know that right now, like what God is doing among young adults in our country, in fact, even here at Grace Church, what's happening in the United Kingdom and in England, they're seeing a turning to Jesus. Bible sales are going through the roof. You might, the news is not going to tell you that, but friends, there are things that are happening in the world today that are reason for encouragement among all the terrible things that are happening. You can pick up one of these magazines in the lobby if they're not all gone. It's called Alliance Life, or you can subscribe for free. But it tells you not only are there articles on the Christian life, how do you really follow Jesus, but also what are some of the things that God is doing around the world today? I put the link in your notes for how to sign up for that. And if you want to meet an international worker, you have a few opportunities to do that. My sister Jessica is going to be out in the lobby here. More on that and her ministry in just a second. Joel and Ellen Bubna got in a few days ago. They were here for several weeks. And on June 26th, you can hear more from them. And then my brother and sister-in-law, Don and Hazel Schaefer, returned this week for good after 41 years of faith. I'm so proud of them, ministry in Japan. And they're going to be settling into Cleveland. They're 68 and 70, so it was time to say, okay, we're coming back and we're going to pass the baton to others. But you'll be seeing them around. They'll be here at Grace Church. Not here today, but you'll see them soon. For all of our international workers, you can sign up. In fact, there's a table out there that has a bunch of information about them. Send them a note. Some of you are engaging with us today. We love you. We're praying for you, and we want to just see that prayer dialed up. If you write to them, you'll get a note back and just say, hey, I want to be one who prays for you. Can you put me on your update list? Number four, make friends. This is the way of Jesus, right? He spent time with people. You can have an impact on the nations right here in our own, city, Northeast Ohio, by reaching out to people. We have English as a second language here at Grace, a few different classes. It's happening right now, in fact, this hour. We have international friendships that some people are involved in. The Hope Center is making an impact to welcome refugees and immigrants to our country, people going through the culture shock and stress. And then for us to be able to say, I get to greet people from all these different nations with the love of Jesus. You'll see the links for that in your notes. If that's something you go, God, I think I want to be a part of that. You might say, Jonathan, I don't have time for this kind of stuff in my life. Like, I'm just looking to shed stuff in my life, not add to my schedule. What do I do? Let me tell this one right here, number 6. We'll just jump to that one. Make an impact financially. Even if it's just a little bit, you might say, I can maybe do $10 a week. Mary and I give minimum of 10% to our local church family here at Grace. And then we give above that for what God is doing in other places around our country and around the world. I enjoy being generous. I'm married to someone who wants to be generous even more than I do. And so we love to give. And here's what I wonder. I think we're going to get to heaven one day, and there's going to be people who come up, and I think this will happen for you as well if you're a giving kind of person, and they'll go, do you know what? The Lord told me that it was because of your gift that helped someone to be there to show me the love of Jesus in a really tangible way, and because of that, I put my trust in Jesus. I'm in heaven today, and thank you. Thank you for the impact you've had in my life. In fact, I wonder if I'm going to meet this guy right here. You'll see a picture here of that's Jessica, my sister. She has been in West Africa for 19 years. And that was first, she was in a country for the first, like maybe 15 years, and was helping out at a hospital that probably delivered 1,000 babies a year, a hospital for women and children. They had a stellar reputation in the country, but unfortunately, because of terrorism, the United Nations said it's really not safe for any Americans to be in that country. And so she's now in a neighboring country, and the next one here you'll see is she's right around the corner from her home. And if you go, that looks dusty and hot. Jessica, in a recent prayer letter, showed the weather app, and it was like the highs were 108, 112, 111. I was here a year ago, and it was just as hot as the phone said. And you go, why would someone live there? Why would you do that? Because this is good news of great joy for how many people? All people, right? All people. And so through our giving, we can say, I get to be a part of what God is doing in the world today. And I don't think I'll ever get to heaven and go, you know what? I probably was too generous. I should have kept a little more of that for myself, right? I don't think it's going to happen. God loves cheerful givers. So Jessica's going to be at a table right after the service if you want to stop by and say hello. And our global outreach minister, Sarah Stumbo, will be there as well, and she'll answer any questions about things that are happening with global outreach at Grace. In fact, if you want to talk to her about number 7 short-term missions trips that are coming up, we do probably 6 or 7 of those trips a year. And if you've never been on one, man, it's a way to sort of stretch not only your mind but your heart and to say, Jesus, help me to love people like you do. Let's come back to our big point. You and I have some news to share, right? Good news, great news. But as someone put it so well, good news is only good if it gets what? To people on time, right? If it gets shared, yeah. If you have news about, like, there's a cancer cure, but 25% of the world never hears about it, what is it good news for them? Not really, right? Would you say that line with me? Oops, can you guys put that back up there a second? That good news, let's say it together, ready? Good news is only good if it gets to people on time. Friends, may it be that you and I are the people saying we're gonna get the good news out. When is Jesus gonna come again? He made a promise. He says, I'm gonna come back. And when is it gonna happen? This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then what? The end will come. And what a day it's gonna be. Friends, you and I, we're not just, you know, Jesus doesn't just say like, you know, go out there and do it by yourself. He says, no, surely I'll be with you always. Like, he'll never leave you. And we get to do it in community. We do it as a family, as a church. And we say, we get to be in this together. So here's what I want to do as we close. Where does he want you to dial up your involvement? Like, how can you be involved in the story that Jesus is writing in the world today to say, Jesus, I want to be a good news person. I want to be a hope dealer in the world today and to be a part of what you're doing. So, Lord, use me however you will. Can we just pray and ask him where he wants to speak to us? Would you pray with me? Spirit of Jesus, we just invite you right now to prompt us. Where do you want us to take the next step? Is there an area where we could dial up our involvement? Would you speak to us right now? Would you just respond to him as maybe he prompts you to go, okay, Lord, yes, I'll do that. Yes, Lord. What does he want to tell you right now? Lord, would you continue to speak to us? And may our answer to you always be yes. Yes, Jesus, yes. I want to be part of what you're doing in the world today. So here we are, Lord. We feel our own inadequacy. I know I do. But thank you for being so faithful. Thank you for taking a couple of loaves, a few fish, and working miracles, and do that with what we offer you as well. We love you, Jesus. We can't wait to see you. And we want your name to be honored and for people to experience all of who you are in your name, for your glory, for their good, we pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, he's coming again. What a day it's going to be.